Hey, we're in the series that we've called Get Fit, and it's just an opportunity for us to step back and look at what we call our six essentials and how they play a part in your spiritual development. Now, I said this last week, and I just want to say it probably every week, but if you want to get fit, physically fit, you have to show up, right? You're going to have to actually do something that all the miracle pills. It's funny, even since last week, I got a few more texts and or things came through my social media about how you could just take this pill or you could just do this thing and suddenly you're going to be beautiful and ripped and have your beach body. And I'm just telling you, it just doesn't work that way. That if you really want to be fit, you got to show up, you got to do some of the good work. And the same's true spiritually. And I don't want you to mishear me. I'm not saying that you do all the work. What I am saying is that God is going to work in your life and the Holy Spirit is going to do things in your life and he's going to nudge you to step out of your comfort zone. And you're going to have to be willing to do that if you want to grow spiritually. And the six essentials just serve as a template for you to ask yourself, am I doing the very things that God has called me to do in such a way that I can grow and to be the person God wants me to be? So there's six of these. We call them essentials. We could call them elements. They're parts of a whole. Remember I said it last week, they are not steps. You don't do one. When you finish, do the next one. It is meant that all of these are a part of your life all the time. As we go through this series, what I'm hoping is that you would just ask the Lord, how am I doing in this area? So last week, if we talked about gathering, how are you doing? This week, we're going to talk about connect. How are you doing? And do you need to make some changes in the way you are pursuing your faith, right? God is going to, as John even read this morning, that God is going to see us through, that God is going to complete what he's doing, but he's going to ask you to play a part. So let me just walk through the six essentials real quick. The first one is that we gather. That's what we talked about last week. When we talk about gathering, we say gather, we don't say go to church, because you are the church. And you take the church with you. And when you meet in small groups, you're the church. And when you meet in here, you're the church. And when you go to work and you share your faith with people, you're the church. So we don't want to mix that up. But when we talk about the gathering in our language, we're talking about the Sunday morning experience. Again, if you weren't here, I really unpacked that in great detail last week. But the gathering is important. And what I said is something happens in this room that can't happen anywhere else. It's different than a small group. It's different than any other place. It doesn't mean you can't experience the Holy Spirit. You will experience the Holy Spirit in all kinds of other settings, but we experience him together, and it's an important thing. So we want you to gather. We want you to connect, and that's what we're going to unpack today, this Sunday morning, but it's the idea of being connected beyond Sunday morning. I say this to you all the time, but if you are not connected with a group of people where you can share honestly and vulnerably beyond the Sunday morning experience, you are not going to grow spiritually. There's really no gray area in this one. If you are not connected beyond the Sunday morning gathering, you are not going to grow spiritually. The third one is that you serve. And when we talk about serve, we're not just asking you to plug in and fill a spot somewhere, but you figure out what it is God has made you to do, that you actually live into Ephesians 2:10, that you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do a good work which he prepared in advance. What is that good work? What has God gifted you? What are your passions? What are you crazy passionate about and gifted to do? And as you discover what that is, that's where you're gonna find life. These are what we call the outer essentials. We call them outer essentials because we do them together. We gather together, we serve together, we are connected together. And then we have what's called the inner essentials, and that is that we have influence. This is the idea of sharing. Oh, generosity. Sorry, I did them out of order. Generosity. When we talk about generosity, we talk about whole life generosity. What do you do not just with your finances, but with your time, with all of your resources? Interesting, I was having a conversation with my son last night, and he was just talking about one of the things he needs to be more generous is with the things that he knows. He would call it his expertise. But when God has entrusted you with an ability to do something or knowledge about something, he often wants you to use that to advance the kingdom of God, but that can be part of your generosity. So we got generosity, then we got influence, I think, if I'm doing it in the right order, yes. Influence is the idea that you're ready to share your faith with people. Why, you know, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. And then the last one, which as I said last week, is devotion, which really is the heart of all of it. This is not doing devotions, but this is having a heart that is fully devoted to God. And we're going to see that again this week as we talk about it. And just want to remind you, all of your youth that are in the children's area right now are also studying the six essentials, but they have their own vernacular. So if you want to put that slide up, We changed the words, but there, gather is hang out, friendship, helping, lead, prayer, and kind-hearted. That would be generosity, the kind-hearted. So they're learning that. What we really want, if you have kids in the program, is to take a few minutes today or in the next couple days and talk about what the kids are learning and what you're learning, and it just create a great conversation. Okay, so this morning, we're going to focus on the second of the outer essentials to connect. I know what happens here on Sunday morning. I know that preaching is an important part of what God has called us to be a part of and what he's called me to do. But it's just a part, get this, it's just a part of what you need to be spiritually fit. And it's a weird thing for me to stand up here and say this, but the Bible makes it clear. I said this to one of the small groups this morning. If a person were to come to me and say, I only have this much time in my week and I have to choose, do I go to church on Sunday morning or do I meet in my small group? First, I would say, you have more time than you think you do, and you need to do both. But if they really had to choose between one or the other, I would say your small group is more important. I know that's crazy, doesn't really bolster what I'm doing at this very moment, but what I am trying to say is that connection beyond the Sunday gathering is critical for you. They're both critical, but I think if you had to choose one, it's more important for you to have people in your life who speak truth in your life, who help you to understand the scriptures, who help you to apply, who pray for you specifically and carry you through. Now, here's the deal. You don't have to choose. You all have time to do both. You have time to do all six of the six essentials, and they're all critical. I'm just trying to help you to understand that there is a huge weight on you to make sure that you are connected beyond Sunday morning. All right, there are some limitations to the Sunday morning gathering, and I just want to put them out there, and I'm not trying to talk you out of gathering. I just want you to see why it's so important. The first limitation is that it's easy for you to disappear. If you are the kind of person who doesn't like being in front of attention, you can come and you can go, and you can literally never have a conversation with anybody. Matter of fact, sometimes people come a little bit late and they leave a little bit early just so they don't have to have a conversation with anybody. It's easy for you to disappear in the crowd, right? It's also easy for you to listen and even be moved by something that I say or something John says or a song and never ever do anything with it. Have you ever had that experience? Like, that was amazing. I can't remember exactly what it was, but that was amazing, right? Like 3 days from now, you wouldn't even be able to say that one thing that stirred you so deeply on Sunday morning. Small group is where you get a chance to talk about it. You get a chance to put it into action. You get a chance to hold each other accountable to it. So it's easy to be inspired, to go to the seminar, and you're all fired up, and then to just let the air out as the week goes on. Right? You can't really ask questions. You can't really seek clarity on Sunday morning. It's kind of hard with this many people if everybody were raising their hands. No one's holding you accountable. We talked about that. No one's following up with you. And there's really not a great system for prayer support. Whereas in a small group, you have an opportunity to share what God is stirring in you and for people to be praying for you. There's another thing that I read this week that I just want to share with you because it kind of hit me hard, but it says that small groups within the church undercuts the holy man and the holy place myth. And I think we've been on this journey for the last several years of not elevating this position that I have of the senior pastor of being more holy or more special and putting him on a pedestal, or that you have to come to this place to experience God in a powerful way. What we want you to realize is that you are holy. You are all priests. You are all called. Every one of you, if you've said yes to Jesus, have a calling on your life. Every one of you are priests. Right? And I am just on the journey with you, and I know that God has called me to do what I do, and I know that I have gifting to do what I do, but the point is, if we're not careful, we create this mystery or this mystique about the position or the place, and this small group ministry helps to kind of level the field, if you will, and take away that. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So we have C groups, and we have D groups, and we have small groups, and we have women's Bible studies, and we have men's Bible studies, and all of those are places where you can come together and bring your gifting to the table to serve one another. If you have the gift of hospitality, there's a place for that. If you have the gift of teaching, there's a place for that. If you have the gift of encouragement, there's a place for that. So all of the gifts get put into play when we are all a part of small group ministry. So that's why it's so critical. All right, I'm going to do things a little bit different. You've probably been wondering why all these stools are. We're not having a Democratic convention here. This is not the debate, although it looks like about the same number of chairs. But I've invited a couple small groups to come up, and if you guys want to start making your way, Meg is going to come as well. And I want you to hear from them. Rather than me just convincing you how important it is to connect beyond Sunday morning, I wanted to give all of these people connected in groups a chance to share. So there should be two mics there. Did you grab both of them? Why don't you guys welcome them to the stage? So we are going to spend a little bit of time in Acts 2. So while they're getting comfortable, if you want to grab your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 42 through 47. This is the same passage we looked at last week. And if you're curious, we're going to look at it again next week. Acts 42... Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. While you're looking for that, I'm just going to let the, let's let the ladies go first. Introduce yourselves, just who are you, and we'll go from there. So, you want to start?
Good morning, Grace. I'm Katie.
I'm Colleen.
I'm Alicia.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Marcia.
Hey, Marcia. And this is...
And these are my girls. This is part of our C group, five of us. There's actually 17 of us on the roster. Yeah.
And why don't you let everybody know who you are and what you've been doing at Grace lately, and if you want to talk about what your group's all about in any particular way.
Okay. I'm Meg Kempton, and...
Oh, sorry.
I am on staff here at Grace part-time as the group's coordinator. So I'm overseeing the various ways you can be in community at Grace. As Doug said, we have C groups, D groups, we have men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, we have a discipleship process called Vantage Point, and I would be happy to talk to you about any of those groups and how you could get involved. Believe me, we have a place for you to fit in any one of these groups. And as I was telling Doug, you said, well, how are you going to describe your group? I said, well, I think I'm going to say that to be in my group, you have to have a superpower.
All
my girls have a superpower.
They all share a superpower. All right. And why don't we do some introductions going this way? But before, why don't you introduce yourself and talk just a tiny bit about your group as well, and then we'll let the guys tell us who they are.
Hi, Grace. My name is Dan Bennett. I want to introduce also one person in our group that's not here, who was the first person in our group. That's Ron Chabot, and he is unfortunately away this week. Our group, we're very fortunate that we're a diverse group. Some of us have hair, some of us don't. And we have we're diverse in our age, too. We have some in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And even though we are
so cool.
Very different, we have found out as adults this morning, we all share the same struggles. And that's been the comfort of our group, to be able to know that how alike we are.
That's great. So Dan is overseeing, this is a C group. How would I describe the different C groups? Tend to be sometimes mixed, sometimes not. They tend to be a little bit bigger, 17. We have seven people in this, which would be the maximum size for a D group. D groups have a very specific format that they do every time they're together. C groups are a little more free-flowing, and a lot of the C groups have their own DNA. We have C groups for parents of non-biological children. We have C groups for a variety of purposes, and then the D groups are very specific. So they meet every Sunday morning at 7:30 or 7:35, depending on who shows up on time. But anyway, 7:30, and then they come to the 9 o'clock service together. So let's do introductions real quick, and then we'll get into some questions specifically. And hey, Kevin. So we're going to start by reading that passage. Meg, I don't know if you were planning on reading it, but you want to read the Acts passage
my glasses,
for everybody.
And just then, in case.
What's that?
I brought my glasses just in case.
Just in case Doug asked you to do it. So this is Acts 2, 42, Acts 2, 42 through 47.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
So one of the things we've talked about already is that when you look at this particular passage, it is a template, if you will, for us of the things that the first century church were doing. What did they do, and what were the outcomes that they experienced? And I think we can safely say that if this is the first century church, those who launched the church after Jesus' ascension, that there are things that they did that we ought to do. Now, we also know much of what we do on Sunday morning is built into tradition and the culture, so we talked about music and all that. That's not really what we're after, but that idea of them gathering around the apostles' teaching, that's what we do when we preach, and the idea of them gathering in small groups, we feel like this is a great template for us of how we ought to build the church, and then when you look at it and you see these outcomes, it's what we ought to expect to see the same sort of outcomes. One of the things I wanted to give you a chance to share a little bit, Meg, is just what the Lord's been stirring in you, as we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, when it comes to Connect and what you see in Acts 2:42.
Well, just the context of the passage. So if you look at Acts 1, when Jesus ascended into heaven, at that time there were about 120 who were followers of Christ. And then Pentecost happened, and on the day of Pentecost, the scripture says that 3,000 people became followers of Christ. So in one day, they went from 120 to 3,120, and then it says every day people were coming to follow Christ. So, you know, the church was kind of growing at a turbo pace. And then if you look through the rest of scripture, you know, they're talking about addition, they're adding people to the church, and then toward the end of Acts, they're talking about multiplication and the multitudes. And Rick Warren puts it this way. He's the pastor of Saddleback Church in California, and he says, if your church is getting bigger, it should be getting smaller at the same time, meaning that, you know, we gather, this is Doug was saying, we gather here on Sundays, this is our, you know, the way we do church corporately, but we should be getting smaller, and that we have all of these smaller groups, with that those groups are our place for care, and those groups are our place for growth. And that, so that's how they were, like, we have thousands of people, what do? We have to make sure everybody has a place to belong, and everybody has a place to receive care.
For sure.
So they met in homes.
So I want to start by just giving each of the groups a chance just to answer the first question, which is why? Why do you gather? Has it made a difference? How has it made a difference in your life? I don't know who's going to answer which questions. We're just going to kind of let this one free flow. But why? I mean, you guys take time out of your busy schedules and you're together. Why? Why bother?
I have to say that as a mom of four young kids, I don't get a lot of time to myself. And this C group has been a huge blessing to me. I couldn't imagine a better group of girls to have community and lasting friendship with, and just have a little bit of time to myself and laugh, you know, have fun, say prayers, and just be together.
Mm-hmm. Has it made a difference in your spiritual journey?
Huge,
a
yes.
Huge difference.
I actually remember when I would come to church, I'd sit up at the top. I, you know, wouldn't stand during worship. I would sing in my head, things like that. And I realize now that I'm standing, I'm partaking more.
That's beautiful.
You know, we participate all week in group text and prayers and just being together.
That's great. So. How about one of you guys? Why bother? Get up early in the morning, come on Sunday. You already got to come to the church. Now you got to come at 7:30.
For me, it helps keep me accountable. In a D group, we have a stack of questions, and we never know which question's going to come up that week. And we always share what God's done in our lives this week, where we've seen Him. But it's just got me thinking during the week what I can share with these other men that go through the same kind of day-to-day struggles that I go through.
I'm trying to tell you to hold the mic up
high. Put the mic
there
in.
You go. So is John up there.
Hold that mic up high. What comes to mind is the...
There you go.
is the song New Wine from this morning. I feel like sometimes when I'm in the D group with these guys, I can feel the Holy Spirit pressing me.
Huh.
And that's me being honest with them and sharing my heart. But other times I feel the Spirit moving, and when someone else is being pressed, I can feel the new wine coming out of me and something, you know, some words of wisdom to share, something like that. And it's really great.
That's awesome. So there are over 50 one another commands in the New Testament. Love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, goes on and on. And what I decided to do, I think God really started to put this on my heart maybe 3 or 4 years ago, just more and more that we really do not have the opportunity to live out the one another commands on Sunday morning. We do some of them, for sure. We can encourage one another. We can love one another. But if we really want to sink into all of these and be a one another church where we're preferring one another, you got to get in a more intimate setting. You think about things like confess to one another, hold each other accountable. Those are passages that we need to do in a more intimate setting. So I have 5 or 6 different one another commands, and what I thought would be a great way to get after this is for me just to read the command, and it'll come up on the screen, and if you have something that you're writing on, if you just want to write those down, that's fine. And then the question that I have for whoever wants to answer it is, how have you seen this particular passage lived out in your particular group? So the first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. Encourage one another and build one another up. Somebody on the men's side want to share a little bit of the journey and how that has played out for you?
Just for me, there was a time in a season not so long ago where I was kind of depressed. I didn't want to get out the bed. I wasn't really coming to church. I was kind of down a little bit. And me and my wife, who is Jasmine Parker, my beautiful wife, going on 4 years now. But at the time, we weren't really connecting. I kind of didn't want to be married. I was kind of like, just not happy. And being in the D group, it really helped me to know the importance and get back to the importance of love is patient, love is kind, love is forgiving, love holds no record of wrong, you know. And not looking at my wife, looking at myself to see what I needed to change and what I needed from the Lord. And just knowing that, not being lazy, I was lazy, thinking that I can do it myself when I needed spiritual food to get the Lord to show me what it was that I needed to do to get from him to get through my life. And, you know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And these guys got me together through prayer and encouragement, through great wisdom. And I'm so thankful for these guys and what they have done for me.
Yeah, I may get in trouble for saying this, but I got to watch this D group function from a distance. And there was a time when I felt like the guys in your group were carrying you and encouraging you to stay strong in your marriage, to stay committed to your wife. And it's a powerful thing to see where you guys are and how these guys played a part in just that's fair? Yeah, amen.
And just in life, you guys, just don't try to do it on your own. Just always focus on the Lord. Put him first in all that you do, and he will provide. And if you need, it's like Doug says, it's not just about the church. It's going deeper with the D groups and C groups and to fellowship with one another, to really open up and be honest about what you're going through in life, because you can't do it alone. You need each
Preach
other.
Preach it, brother. Preach it. How about over here? Anybody want to share? Encourage one another, build one another up. How's that played out in your group?
So for me personally, you know, society tells us we have to be strong women and, you know, superwoman and things like that. And so having a group of ladies that we can process things with and pray for one another and encourage one another has just been everything in my life. There's any given time I can reach out to any one of them for prayer, and oftentimes, you know, we do. My phone's going off like crazy at work, and you know, so it's just so nice to have that support and to know that, you know, life is hard and we don't have to go through it alone. We weren't meant to go through it alone. So just having a safe space to be vulnerable and to receive the love and support is just priceless.
That's great. Do you want to share anything about the group? I think one of the things Meg has shared with me is how much she enjoys watching the dialogue amongst the group when she's not even a part of the dialogue sometimes, right?
Yeah, sometimes, right. Yeah, they're good at carrying a conversation. what I feel about my group is I host it in my home, and kind of the way I symbolically see it is that I set the table, which I don't, we sit in my living room, but I set the table, and all of these wonderful women show up and they bring something to the meal. Each of them have something to contribute that nourishes all of us who are sitting around the table. And yeah, sometimes I feel like I just unlock my door and they come in. and then they leave and I think, gosh, God, that was great. And I didn't even really hardly say anything. But, you know, the spirit is moving and everyone's been really vulnerable and trusting, and it's good.
It's great. Romans 12:10. Did somebody want to say something? No? Okay. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. And I have never seen this in the passage, so I'm sorry if that scares you as your pastor. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. I love that. That is a powerful sentence. If every group just had that as their mantra, we're just going to outdo each other in honoring one another. The word outdo there is really just to prefer one another, to put it above yourself. But how have you seen that played out in the group? Somebody want to share over here?
I'll take this one here, but I have to say that one of our first meetings, I was experiencing a panic attack, and it lasted about a week long until I went into our C group meeting. And during the meeting, Meg gently called me out, seeing that I was struggling to try to handle all those emotions on my own. And it was amazing how all the ladies came together. They laid their hands on me. Meg stood behind me, and they all said a prayer. And I was, from that day, I feel like I was truly healed. I still suffer with anxiety and other things, but not nearly as bad as it was
that
week.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it was really amazing to, I mean, this was one of our first groups, and none of these ladies really knew each other too well, and it was amazing that they reached out and just gave a little piece of themselves to me.
That's so. Great.
Felt very nice.
That's awesome. How about over here? Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes, love one another with brotherly affection. And when the D group was formed through Dan, you know, like we didn't know, neither one of us knew each other. And then as the D group started coming together every Sunday and we started getting to know one another, confiding in one another, and Dan is a perfect example of that. You know, after we confide and we might say, hey, whatever we're going through in life and difficulties, and then showing that brotherly love, it means showing that you care for one another, that you're extending beyond yourself. And Dan, later on in the day on Sundays or Mondays or Tuesday, you'll get a call from Dan or a text from Dan and say, hey, man, I just want to know how you're doing. And that's showing that brotherly love. We was in our D group this morning, and it's showing that intimacy between men. Because sometimes as men, we hold back, you know, and sharing and confiding with each other. And so we all confide in each other. We all share. And with Nick and with Doug, you know, he just joined our D group, and how he has just joined right in and fit right in. And that, you know, and Hosea, you know, and Gary, you know, and Ron. It was one example is that Ron was in a bowling league, and I hadn't bowled since 1995. And he said, hey, would you like to join, you know, come in and fill in for us? And that was just showing brotherly love to
That's
me.
Great.
And we extend that to each other.
Yeah. That's good. That Romans 12:10 in the NIV says, be devoted to one another. One thing we talked about this morning, even with the group, there's something about showing up for one another over the course of time, being devoted enough to be there every time your group gets together, every time you get together. It's not, every group meeting isn't profound, but there is something about showing up and being devoted to one another. I've been meeting with Dan for over 20 years every Friday morning, and I say it all the time. It's not that every Friday is profound, but what I do know is when I need my guys, Dan and Mike are going to be there on Friday morning, and that's really what it means to be devoted to one another. Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. This is one that Meg actually asked for. I don't know if you want to speak to it or if you want to share. You're holding the mic. You're stuck now.
Go ahead, Katie.
So kind of to Alicia's point, we not only physically meet two Wednesdays a month, but we are perpetually texting each other, and just having that that communication with each other makes a tremendous difference. That I have prayer warriors, 17 or 18 of them, just a short text message away. And then my phone starts blowing up and scrolling forever, just with so much support of, you know, I'm praying for you. But not just words, we'll send physical songs to each other too, or if, you know, somebody's driving and hears a song and their hearts are quiet for a second, a name might pop in and we'll send something specifically to that person that, who knows, maybe was having a day that they just needed one of their sisters. So it has been tremendous for me to rely on these women and to know that I don't have to wait till a second Wednesday to see them. They're only just a couple taps away on my phone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just to add to that, this morning I woke up. When I go to bed, I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, because Doug doesn't do that. So I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. And so when I picked up my phone this morning, I looked, and one of the women in my group had sent a text asking for prayer. So, you know, so I opened my phone, I'm scrolling through, and I don't know, 8 or 9 of you guys had responded with all these prayers, and I thought, she's covered. And so often that happens, you know, someone will send a text like, I need a prayer, and I'm, you know, I'm doing something and I can't respond, and by the time I look and I scroll through and I see everybody's prayers, someone will post a link to a podcast or a song or whatever, and then I just go, amen.
That's awesome.
It's like, I mean, they're just taking care of each other.
You guys send a lot of songs to one another?
Well, you know, when I saw this passage, no, you don't want to hear us, and we are not good a cappella, I'm sure of that. I told this group earlier, it's not fair. Women get 20,000 words for a day, and we just get a couple hundred, so we're trying to compete with them. No,
where'd those statistics come from, Dan?
You're doing all right. No, when I read this passage, it reminded me of one Sunday morning, somebody shared something that was really good, and Kevin says, we need to say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
And, awesome.
And it was so uplifting. We just gave several courses of hallelujah, 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 and it's so good.
That's great. James 5:16, probably one of the hardest to do and most liberating things we can do in small group. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. Interesting that confession and healing are connected together. The prayers of a righteous person have great power as it is working. So anybody want to share a little bit of the, not necessarily what you confessed, but how this has played out in your group?
I think the first time that I heard this verse was when we did Remix, and we had a really long discussion about, like, what does it mean to confess your sins and how scary that is to, like, yeah, think about everybody's gonna have to hold me accountable if I tell them what I'm struggling with. And this was particularly challenging for me in terms of just, like, letting somebody in. And I remember there was one week where we were studying and we read someone's story. And Meg was like, well, how did you relate to this? And everybody's kind of like, And I opened up about a difficult season in my life. And it was great to just be able to let it go. Because I had held on to it for so long and felt so much shame. But to be able to speak to these women and tell them what I was struggling with, and then to not have them come back and text me every other day, like, are you okay? Is everything fine? Like, they were supportive, but they weren't, like, judgmental.
That's great. So. That's powerful. Nick?
Sure. Each time we meet, we kind of end with kind of picking from a jar of kind of deep kind of starter questions. And these questions are really just kind of to prompt a deep discussion. And what I like about this group is we go brutally honest and just, you know, sharing the truth and confessing where we did well, where we didn't. And then we pray over it, sometimes as a group, sometimes we split up in pairs. And it's really, we pray through the end, and we also text. We also have text, maybe not as many as the women's group, but
we text a lot.
We do pray for each other too throughout the week, and it's just, we feel surrounded when someone shares, we go deep. We feel surrounded by prayer.
That's great. Hey, one of the things I just feel like I need to say from a pastoral standpoint about James 5:16, confess your sins to one another, and it did come out pretty strongly in the remix book. You know, there is this liberation that comes when we bring things into the light. Mm-hmm. And we understand that this is not the place to do it. Like, there's 500 people hanging out, like, this is not a place to put it. In an intimate setting where you can finally be vulnerable enough to say, hey, guys, hey, gals, this is a journey for me and I'm struggling. Something happens. Every time you give that voice, it loses power over you. It just does. When you're willing to say it, suddenly the grip is released and people can be praying for you and you can move through it. But the power is in the secret. The power of holding you back. So I just want to encourage you. This is one of those that can make a huge difference. Kevin wants to... Bring it, Kevin. He wants to add to my preaching. Go for it.
I'm sorry about
that. No, don't be sorry. This is good.
But it's important that in our D group that we all have shared something.
Yeah.
And not just one individual, because sometimes you would just look at that one individual as doing something wrong, and then you would start critiquing their life. But then we all have shared something, and that we all can pray for each other for deliverance.
That's great. Yeah. Appreciate that. So we're going to wrap things up. Acts 2:42 tells us that the early church, the people devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to one another in C groups, D groups, small groups, men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies. We have all kinds of ways for you to actually get connected. If you're ladies, there's an evening Bible study that's still going that helps us to get it there. Do you have anything you want to share before I kind of wrap things up?
I was going to ask Colleen if she has anything to share.
Colleen, you have to say something now.
I have to say something now?
Yeah, sorry.
As we were talking about each of the passages and brotherly affection and accountability, confession, all of those things are of value in a group when you're known. I think if you're... It's easy to sit on the sidelines. You were talking about earlier the limitation of being in a large group is that you can hide. And in a group where you're known, there is no hiding. And I think that's kind of the beauty of each of the things that the women and the men up here have shared, is that you're known. And in that knowing, there is freedom, there is grace, there is power. And so that's one of the most encouraging things about being a part of a group like this.
For sure. That's awesome.
What do you want me to add?
Whatever you want.
I just want to say that if you are not in a group, there is a place for you, and I would love to talk with you about that. We'll also be at the Connection Corner, which is on this landing of the stairwell. And if you want to grow in your understanding of God's love for you, a group is a great way to do that and journey with other people.
For sure. So the question I just want to leave you with is, where are you? Are you connected in an intimate setting beyond the gathering? Are you connected with people from Grace who are helping you to walk faithfully with Jesus? And if you aren't, let's get it done. I want to just pray for you, Lord. Thank you for these people that you have brought together to be your church at Maras and I-94. But I pray that we would continue to look more and more like that Acts 2:42 through 47 church, that we would come together and study the apostles' teaching, that we would be committed to fellowship with one another, that we would give generously, that we would serve in profound ways, that we would see your Holy Spirit doing more and more in us and through us, and that you would add to our numbers daily those who are being saved. Mm. Lord, we just pray that we would be a church that brings honor and glory to you. I thank you for the men and women on the stage who have committed themselves to one another, to show hospitality to one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up, and how it's made a difference in each one of their lives. I pray for those who are not connected, that we would be good stewards and good shepherds and help them to be connected. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, when we prayed for you this morning, the group really felt like there was some needs among some of the students, maybe even looking for work, and we'd love to pray for you in that, that there was some fear that was gripping some people. We'd love to also pray for you for that. We had a few people specifically ask that the elders would meet with them, that they would lay hands on them and pray, which is very biblical, so some of the elders will meet down here, so if you're one of those people, we'd love for you to come and receive prayer. Can we just thank all these guys for being up here this morning? Not an easy thing to do. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great Sunday afternoon.
Good job.